Tonight's premise. Generations of travelers are in a giant spaceship. So giant that they may have lost track of the fact that it's a spaceship, and certainly have lost track of its purpose. Question, do you believe in Jordan? And exactly who is the builder, the mind behind the universe that is this spaceship? Questions should be asked from X-1. Our story comes to us from May 15, 1955.
Countdown for blastoff. X-5, -4, -3, -2, X-1. Fire! From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on 1,000 would-be worlds. The National Broadcasting Company presents X-1. Tonight, Universe. We are just beginning to discover how boundless our universe really is. And yet as man reaches out to the stars, out toward infinity, ironically enough, he may be building himself a new kind of prison. What would it be like to live all your life in a world no larger, say, than a single gigantic rocket ship bound on an endless mercy?
Look out! You all right?
Yes. Just missed me.
What was it?
A mutant with a slingshot, I think. Must have dashed down that passageway.
Want to go after it?
Oh, we'd never catch it, Alan. It's probably 12 decks above us by now.
I didn't think they ever came down this far. Trolls usually get them before they reach this level.
Well, they get more daring with each generation. This one looked like a female.
Male or female, it might have killed us. I told you this trip was pure foolishness, climbing 24 deck levels to hear a crazy old man rave.
All right, Alan, we're almost there now. Let me see, compartment X-15, level 24. This is the place.
This area smells as if it hadn't been visited by a sanitation crew for generations.
This part of the ship is almost deserted.
Yes?
Is this the compartment of John the Witness?
Who are you?
My name is Hugh Hoyland, cadet from Scientist Barracks. This is my friend Alan Mahoney.
What do you want of John the Witness?
Well, only to talk.
Are you a believer in Jordan?
Naturally.
I have heard that there are those among the younger scientists who doubt the word of Jordan.
To doubt is death. We're not heretics.
Ah, enter.
I've brought you a gift of tobacco, grown on the richest level.
Oh, it smells good.
I assure you, it's of the best.
Wait here. I'll get him.
What a rat's nest.
Shh.
Well, what the devil do you think he can tell you?
Alan, I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Well?
Are you John the Witness?
I am.
Good evening to you. I'm Hugh Hoyland. This is my friend, Alan Mahoney.
What brings a gentleman of the scientist class to my humble compartment?
I've heard that you and your parents before you have been keepers of the legend of the ship.
Since Jordan gave the word.
I'm anxious to hear the word as Jordan spoke it.
Why?
Because our young scientists, Well, among them, there have been some who talk against the word.
There are regulations against such heresy.
Still, some of them say the ship has no purpose. They say that we are here accidentally, that we have no more grace in Jordan's eyes than the most deformed mutant who dwells in the highest level of the ship.
What shall I say to you?
Well, I wish to hear the word from the mouth of one who knows, in order that I may become more convinced.
Sit. You have a gift for the witness?
The finest tobacco.
Good. I will dim the lights. Now pay close attention, for these are the words as my father's father's father gave them to his son's son's son. This is how the ship came into being, how our people were created. In the beginning, there was only Jordan, thinking his lonely thoughts. Out of his thoughts came a vision. Out of the vision came a planning, and out of the planning came decision. Jordan's hand was lifted, and the ship was born. Mile after mile of good compartments, tank after tank for gold and corn, ladder and passage, door and locker fit for the needs of the yet unborn. He looked on his work and found it pleasing, meet for a race that was yet to be. He thought of man, and man came into being. Then Jordan checked his thoughts and searched for a key. Man untamed would shame his maker. Man unruled would spoil the plan. So Jordan made the regulations, and order came to the works of man. A crew he created to work at their stations, scientists to guide the plan. Over them all he created captain, made him judge of the race of man. Thus it was in the golden age.
These are the true words?
As my father's father taught them.
But what of the strange beast-like people on the upper levels of the ship? Surely Jordan did not create them.
Jordan is perfect. All below him lack perfection. You have heard of the legend of Huff?
I have heard that he mutinied against Jordan.
Darkness swallowed the ways of virtue. Sin prevailed upon the ship. And before wisdom prevailed and the bodies of Huff and his followers were fed into the converter, some of the rebels escaped and lived to father the mutants. They are tainted with the sins of their fathers.
Witness, one more question.
Speak.
What is the ship?
The ship is a great sphere, 25 kilometers wide and 100 levels deep.
I know that, but the upper levels.
Regulations forbid us to venture into the upper levels, but it is said that beyond the levels of the mutants lies the forbidden place where Jordan's spirit prevails.
So I've heard, yet something troubles me. Something which prompted my coming here.
Yes, my son.
What lies beyond the ship?
What?
What lies beyond the ship?
This is heresy.
Answer me.
I will not permit such talk. The ship is complete. The ship is universal. The ship is everywhere. The ship is endless.
Your mutterings are those of a frightened old man. No. They answer nothing.
You question the word.
I think you lie.
Hear me, Mr. Hoyland. For what you have already said, I can have your body fed into the converter. Your soul launched on the endless trip.
You threaten me.
You, for Jordan's sake.
Do you think I fear this dried fig of a man?
You! Sir, my friend is impetuous. He does not understand.
I might be persuaded to forget a substantial gift.
Why, you pig!
You!
Alan, come on. The sight of this so-called holy man offends me.
No, you shall not leave.
Don't try to frighten me with that gun, old man.
Remain where you are, heretic.
I warn you, put down that gun.
No, closer.
Drop it.
Very well, then. Death to the heretic.
Alan, get him. Alan, he's not breathing. Is he dead?
I don't know. Come on, Hugh, we've got to get out of here.
Right.
Nowhere. We can't go back. They'd feed us into the converter before we could even... What's that?
An alarm. That old woman must have turned it in. Come on, Alan, the patrol will be here in no time.
Where can we go?
Yes, where? The upper levels.
No, the mutants.
We'll have to take our chances. Come on, Alan, let's go. Listen, that's the patrol. Come on, we've got to climb.
There's a hatchway down the corridor.
All right, quickly, quickly!
Oh, early fire!
Alan, Alan, up! Ladder! Up! Come on, Alan, come on!
Pew, wait. Wait. How far are we from the outside wall?
Judging by the slope of the deck, about 2 miles. Ellen, let's try this passageway here.
If you hadn't asked him that stupid question...
Now, there's no use going over that.
But why did you do it?
I've been thinking about it for a long time. When he began to give me those stupid, tired answers, well, I just saw red, I guess.
Who are you to question the ways of Jordan? When you asked me to go with you to visit the witness, I thought you wanted spiritual help. I never dreamed.
I'm sorry, Alan. I'm sorry. I couldn't foresee this.
Wait a minute.
What?
I saw something move.
Where?
Near that bulkhead.
I don't see anything.
Maybe my eyes are going bad.
Listen! You behind us!
Alan, look out!
No. What are you?
That knife. Keep away from me, you.
Don't kill him. Not yet.
Who are you?
You must forgive my friend Bobo. Like so many of my people, he's rather impetuous where members of the so-called super race are concerned.
Who are you? What place is this?
As you can guess, from my leg, I'm a mutant.
Mutant? Where is Alan?
Your friend is dead.
Dead?
I was not able to restrain my people in time to save him.
Why don't you destroy me and get it over with?
We do not kill for pleasure, Mr. Hoyland. Only when necessary.
You know my name?
I read your identification tag.
Who are you? Mutants can't read.
My name is Gregory.
Gregory?
I'm a leader of my people. You see, although we are unfortunate in our heredity, Mr. Hoyland, many of us are quite intelligent.
And why do you live like animals?
We'd rather live like free animals than like regimented slaves, as you do.
I've heard you practice cannibalism.
Undoubtedly, you hear many things about us. You turn your head. Why?
That monster. I've never seen a creature like him.
Bobo is an unfortunate. He was born without the power of speech.
How can you tolerate such a monstrosity?
We've learned to live with difference. If we began to destroy our imperfects as you do on the lower levels, there would soon be no one left.
It violates the regulations. The word of Jordan
you
states
know, Mr. Hoyland, your people are really quite primitive and barbaric.
You dare say that to me?
I dare say a good deal more. Let us go to my compartment and speak further. I'm always interested in information on the lower levels.
I'll give you no information.
Bobo.
No.
I want Mr. Hoyland in my cabin, please.
No! No!
I'd advise you to go quietly, Mr. Hoyland. Bobo has a hatred of superior beings, which is unfortunate, but quite understandable. Proceed. Enter, Mr. Hoyland.
This is where you live?
Yes.
But you have books.
Stolen from your libraries, Mr. Hoyland.
Compton's Astrophysics, Philosophy of Interstellar Navigation, Celestial Mechanics. You've read these?
Most of them.
I had no idea that you... Why did you bring me here? What do you intend to do?
Do you believe in Jordan, Mr. Hoyland?
There is no other belief.
And the trip. I suppose you believe in the trip, too.
What else is there to believe? When you die, your remains are fed to the converter and your soul makes the trip.
And where does the trip take you?
To Centaurus, of course.
Ah. And where or what is Centaurus?
Centaurus is... Mind you, I'm just telling you the orthodox answer. Centaurus is where you arrive when you've made the trip. A place where everybody is happy and where there's always good eating.
And you believe this?
Well, the... Peasants believe it literally, but many of the younger scientists, like myself, know it is figurative and symbolic. Why do you ask?
Did it ever occur to you, Mr. Hoyland, that the trip is exactly what your peasants believe it is?
What?
and that the ship and all the crew were actually going somewhere, moving.
Ship can't go anywhere. It already is everywhere.
Imagine a place bigger than the ship. Much bigger. With the ship inside it. Moving inside it.
There can't be any place bigger than the ship. There just wouldn't be any place for it to be.
Oh, for half's sake, listen. You know the lowest level?
Of course.
If you started digging a hole in the lowest level, where would that hole go?
It's forbidden to think such thoughts.
Where would it go?
I can't think about it.
Bobo, you're going to take Mr. Hoyland to the place.
No. Where are we going?
To the top level.
But that's certain death.
Nonsense. I've been there 1,000 times. Come along.
No, I won't. I won't. You can't make me.
I think we can.
No, no, please.
Now, shall we proceed peacefully, or shall I have Bobo persuade you? Open the door, Bobo. Inside.
What place is this?
This, Mr. Hoyland, is the main control room. Mr. Hoyland, you're trembling.
It isn't true. No. No, there's no such place except in mythology.
Ah, you younger men are so wise, Mr. Hoyland, except for one thing. This happens to be the main control room of the ship.
Main control? But it's just a huge room with an instrument panel.
And what did you expect?
How do you know this is the main control room?
See these instruments? Using them, the navigator many hundreds of years ago actually steered the ship on its voyage.
I don't understand.
I didn't suppose you would. Sit down.
Very well.
Look up. What do you see?
A huge shield.
Watch it for one moment, Mr. Hoyland. You're going to see something that few of us have ever been privileged to witness.
What are you doing?
I'm dimming the lights. Don't be frightened. Keep your eyes focused on the shield above us. Ready? Watch.
It's sliding back. Ghost of Jordan.
Well?
What am I seeing?
The universe, Mr. Hoyland. The universe in all its beauty. The stars, the planets, the sun, the moons, and constellations.
No. No, it can't be. The ship is the universe. There is nothing but the ship.
Ah, but there it is. You see it before your eyes spread out like a canopy of glory. Do you still deny it? Answer me, Mr. Hoyland. Do you deny it?
No. No, I can't deny it. They've lied. They lied to all of us.
Good. Showed this to others of your people whom we captured, and though they saw it before their very eyes, they would not believe it.
Please. Please tell me all about it. Tell me the truth about the ship and about the universe. What are these things? How did this come about?
Many thousands of years ago, on a planet like those you have just seen, a planet called Earth, a scientist named Jordan decided to build a ship that would carry men from one planet to another. For many years, Jordan and thousands of others studied and planned. And when they were finished, they built the ship. A ship so large that it had to be assembled in its own orbit beyond a place called the moon. 60 years it took them to construct. And when it was finished, a whole new science had been conceived. Then the trip was begun. The trip that was to land a colony of Earthmen on a far-off planet called Centaurus, millions of light years beyond the furthest planet ever reached before.
How do you know these things?
Among my books are the log which Jordan himself kept and the records of the journey for the first 40 years.
What happened?
There was a mutiny. A man named Huth led a rebellion of those who wanted to turn back. In the struggle, the navigators were killed. The crew fell into a state of anarchy. In the years to follow, small groups of men tried to organize the ship for navigation, and each time, they failed. Finally, the whole idea was abandoned. And so, for centuries, we have swung in space, unmanned, undirected, living in a lost world of our own making. without purpose, without direction.
Why have you told me this?
Can't you guess?
You want to finish the trip.
Yes. But I can't.
You can't?
Look at me, Mr. Hoyland. You see, a mutant. A man with a twisted leg. My people are outcasts, condemned to death if we so much as set foot in the lower levels of the ship. The main drive is in the lower levels where my people are forbidden to go. No. It would mean that both our people would have to work together. Our differences encouraged rather than denied.
All right. I'll see the captain himself. I have an uncle on the central board. I'll tell him what I've seen here.
And do you think he'll believe you?
Send one of your people with me.
That's asking a good deal.
I'm risking a good deal by going back.
Very well. Bobo will go with you.
Bobo? He can't talk.
There will be no need for talk. I will write a message guaranteeing safe conduct for a group of unarmed scientists to visit the main control room. Bobo will take you safely through our territory. What happens when you reach your own level is up to you.
One moment.
Yes, what? You.
Quick, Uncle, let us in.
Hey, but this mutant.
He's harmless. Please, Uncle, please.
Now, what is this? You want it for...
I know all about that. Uncle, listen. I must see the captain.
The captain? Are you mad?
Uncle, you're a council member. You can get me to see him.
He'll kill you. You want it for heresy.
I don't care. I must speak with the captain. Now, Uncle, you're close to him. You can arrange it.
I don't understand.
Listen to me. The ship is moving. I can prove it. Do you understand? There is a purpose in the ship.
I don't understand what you're babbling about.
Now, never mind. Just talk to the captain. Tell him I have information of tremendous importance. Tell him I've arranged a truce with the mutants.
Truce?
Here, show him this paper, signed by their leader. Do it, Uncle, for my sake.
I don't know what...
Uncle, please, if I'm to die, let this be my last request to you.
Very well. I'll speak to the captain.
And you say, Mr. Hoyland, that you saw this with your own eyes?
I swear it, Captain. I swear it on the word of Jordan.
Let me see the paper again. Commander Erst, what do you think?
I don't know, sir. It might be a trick.
I guarantee you safe conduct.
If these things are as Mr. Hoyland reports them, it would pay to risk a few lives.
A man is a convicted heretic.
Still, we must not discount his word. He has a safe conduct, and the mutant risked its life coming with him. I think we might investigate.
Captain, you mean you will do it?
I will have an expedition outfitted. Dismissed, Mr. Hoyland.
Thank you, sir.
Captain,
Commander Erst.
Sir.
You will make the necessary arrangements for an expedition. And I trust you understand.
Perfectly, sir. Perfectly.
Lieutenant.
Yes, Mr. Harlan.
You better halt your men here. This is the spot.
Patrol! Halt! Well, I see no welcoming party of mutants.
There'll be none. Their leader will meet you inside the main control room.
You don't say. Just where is this main control room?
Beyond that door.
I see. All right, men. Ready arms.
Lieutenant, why do you ready arms?
In case of ambush.
Ambush? Now, wait a minute, Lieutenant. What are those men doing with that ray gun?
Just aiming it at the door.
Are you mad?
No, Mr. Hoyland, but most certainly you are to think that we could be lured up here to be slaughtered with a fantastic story about some mythical control room.
Guns ready,
Lieutenant,
sir.
Lieutenant, I warn you, these people have acted in good faith. You can't break that faith.
Oh, mutant! Come out!
For Jordan's sake,
hold
Lieutenant!
It. A little too quiet for comfort. Mutant! Open the door.
Please, Jordan.
Don't let anything happen. Don't let...
All right, it's opening. Ready, men. Someone's coming out. Steady.
Gregory, stay back!
Fire!
You fools! You've killed him!
Here come the rest of them. Fire! Fire!
You fools!
That should teach him a lesson they won't forget. All right, men, inside the room. Come on, Harlan. You're under arrest as a conspirator in this ambush.
Ambush, you fool. You blind, stupid fool.
All right, that'll be enough. You've been inside this place before?
Yes.
What's this machinery?
These are the controls he would have used to steer the ship.
Gone out of his mind, Lieutenant.
Steer the ship? Who?
The leader, the one you killed.
This ugly mutant?
This ugly mutant. Happened to be a man of true genius.
Why, you're mad.
Am I? Lieutenant, this man had a vision which would have saved you, but you chose to kill him because you couldn't stand the sight of his difference from you.
Shut up, Highland. Don't listen to him, man.
You can't shut your eyes and you can't shut your minds and you can't shut your ears to this.
Roof's moving back.
Yes, look. Let the vision of this confound your ignorance and blind your eyes. This is the heritage of stars and open skies for which men have yearned for centuries. Try to destroy this, and you will only destroy yourselves.
Death to the heritage!
Die! But I say to you that you can't keep this from our people. They will seek it out. The ship will be manned. And the ship will be steered. And there will be freedom, purpose, and respect for ourselves. This is your heritage. Look. Look upon the universe.
Kill him. Kill him.
X-1 has just brought you Universe, a story written by Robert Heinlein and adapted for radio by George Lefferts. Heard in the cast were Donald Buca as Hugh, Peter Capel as Gregory, Bill Griffiths as Alan, Abby Lewis as the woman, Edgar Staley as the witness, Jason Johnson as the uncle, John Seymour as the captain, and Ian Martin as the lieutenant. Your announcer is Fred Collins. X-1 is directed by Fred Way and is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production. And now, next week. Next week we have a strange story to tell. A sweet, blood-curdling little story that is really only two sentences long. The last man on Earth sat alone in a room. And then, there was a knock on the door. What knocked on that door? You'll find out next week on X. Minus. One.
X Minus One. With Universe. From May 15th. 1955, asking some big questions about who are we, where are we, and where are we going? Questions that might not be answered so easily when you get into the realm of Lights Out and Mr. Arch Obler. It's next, as old-time radio drama continues right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Arch Obler could be quite down to earth, at least at the beginning of a half an hour, and by the end you wondered where you were. So, for our down to earth part, we have a Hollywood star who comes to visit Charles on the English coast and gets acquainted with his wife by announcing that she's going to steal Charles. And that sets the stage for a little sailing trip and quite a surprise out there. In our story, which is called Lord Marley's Guest. It's Lights Out from September 7, 1943.
Ironized Yeast presents Lights Out, Everybody. Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly but sincerely to turn off your radio now.
This is Arch Obler. House guests in the days before rationing, and if they didn't wear out their welcome, were an interesting part of our social lives. But tonight we bring you a story of a most unpleasant and unexpected guest who came to visit Lord Marley. But first, for Ironized Yeast, Frank Martin.
Help wanted to get back that old-time pep and strength and needed weight. Friends, is that you wanting help? Well, if vitamin B1 and iron shortage is why you're so run down, weak, and jittery, get two-way help. Get Ironized Yeast Tablets. They give you both vitamin B1 and iron. They're scientifically designed for these exact deficiencies. No wonder great numbers of men and women who used to suffer from these shortages tell how splendidly Ironized Yeast Tablets have helped them. Often they say it's like a new lease on life. That's right. The name is Ironized Yeast Tablets. And now, Lights Out, Everybody.
Waiting. Who does the man think we are, I'm asking?
It's like I says to you before we got in here. Try to do a man like his lordship a favor and you'll get it in the neck. That's what I said, and you remember.
Well, I'll give him 5 more minutes to do us the honor, and then it's off I am. I want to look at my nets before the tide changes, that I do. Oh, well, all I'm after is to warn him. Then me duty's done.
It's wasting time. He won't believe you. You mark my words.
Won't believe me, and me almost losing my boat to the thing?
His lordship will say it was the tide.
Now, you listen to me, Joey. I've been fishing in these waters here for more years than you got brains in your head. And I'm telling you it was a...
It's his lordship.
Boy, looks to be in a blinking temper now, don't he?
Well, what is it? If
it pleases your lordship, my name is Sam Marlowe.
I know who you are. You're the fellow I caught poaching rabbits last night.
Now, wait a minute. You didn't catch me poaching nothing. It's an honest fisherman I am, I'll have you know.
Oh, honest, are you? Well, let me tell you, I never forget a face. And if yours isn't the face of the rogue, then
I
shall...
Oh, the rogue, is it? You hear that, Joey? He calls me the rogue.
Fine one he is to be talking.
Why, you impudent scoundrels. Out of my house. Out of my house.
But, your lordship, we want to tell you...
You tell me nothing, you thieving rascals.
Oh, it's thieving now, is it? For 2 pence, lordship or no lordship, I'd bash that nose of yours so flat it'd look like a pond.
Get out of here. Oh. Get out,
what
I say.
What is the matter?
These scoundrels.
We're not scoundrels, you old coot, you.
Yeah, we was only trying to warn him that he's...
Not another word. Out. Out, I say.
Come on, Sam. Let's get out of
here. Get out.
Aristocracy, he calls himself. If he's a gentleman, I'm...
Get out, I say.
Victoria.
And if you dare trespass on my property again, I'll have the law on your thieving necks. The both of you.
There's no need to shout, Charles.
Why?
They're gone.
The infernal rascals.
But I don't understand. They spoke of coming here to warn you.
Warn me? Nonsense. Some infernal scheme that I didn't even give them a chance to reveal. Loafers. Spoiled by the government dole.
But I know those men. Why, they're from the village. Good, honest fishermen.
Honest, no good, not one of them. And if they keep up their infernal impudence, this community is going to lose my trade. You can depend on that. We'll never spend another season here. Not if I have anything to say about it. Confounded rascals warning me.
All right. We'll drop the entire matter right now. What I can't understand is where's that guest of yours? Hmm? You said he'd be here by 10 o'clock. Look, it's almost noon.
Yes, my guess. True.
What is it, Charles?
Didn't I tell you?
Tell me what, dear?
My guest, it's not a man.
No.
Madeline Kay. You've heard of her?
Madeline Kay? No, I'm afraid not. Who is she?
It's a matter of business. I couldn't arrange to be in the office, you know, because of our little outing, so I asked Miss Kay to come here. Pay frightfully large fees, these Americans, you know.
American? Won't you please tell me who she is, Charles?
Why, surely you know her, the cinema star.
Oh. Oh, the big blonde wench we saw in that Bang Bang Gangster picture.
Oh, now, don't talk like that. I forbid it.
But the picture was definitely a Bang Bang Gangster picture, my dear Charles. Why, I remember distinctly. At least seven of the gangmen, as the Americans say, bit the dust.
You have the most outrageous sense of humor. I'm speaking of the woman, my client.
Oh, you mean she isn't a blonde wench?
Oh, really, my dear. Your choice of words is sometimes most inappropriate. The woman is definitely an artist, and my client.
Oh, yes, of course. But was it necessary to have her come here?
Why not?
Well, this is our home.
But I told you it's most important that she consult me, her financial affairs, you know.
No, I don't
but
know.
But I'm trying to tell you. Oh, great Scott, Jane. You're not going to be difficult just because I invited a client out here. Confounded silly suspicions.
Now, just a moment, Charles. I have no suspicions.
Well, your attitude.
And I have no attitude. You've invited this woman here on business, and I assure you I'll do everything in my power to make her stay as pleasant as possible. Will she be here for dinner?
to tell you the truth,
Weekend?
Fortnight. You know how those Americans are. Pushing.
Fortnight. Very well, Charles. I'll go and tell Jenkins that he should...
Charles, here I am.
Apparently your guest has already arrived, Charles. Mm-hmm. You better go out and welcome her.
Yes, of course. You coming along?
Of course.
Careful of that luggage, you idiot. If you scratch it, I'll have you replaced.
Did you say for a fortnight, Charles? She has enough luggage piled up in the tonneau of that roadster for a permanent invasion.
Will she,
Charles!
That is
Charles, how nice. You've come out to your doorstep to welcome me just like a feudal knight or something.
Well, by George, Madeline, it's good to see you.
Madeline?
You said something?
No.
Oh, yes, Madeline. This is Lady Jane.
How do you do?
How do you do? Charles, tell me, what do you think of my new car? It's nice, isn't it? You see, I did take your advice.
You must be tired after your trip, Miss Kay. The roads aren't any too good.
Tired? I'm never tired, am I, Charles? You ought to know. Tried to walk my feet off around the deck, but I wore you down, didn't I?
Oh, you met on shipboard during Charles's trip to America?
Madeline, you must be tired. A rest before tea, perhaps?
Rest? With all that beautiful ocean right there at the end of the lawn? I should say not.
Swim?
Just what I need. Charles, why don't you get out one of your little boats and take me out there in the middle of that blue water so I can take a dip?
Well, that is to say...
Of course you'll do as Miss Kay asks, Charles. Get out the skiff while I show her to her room. I'm sure she'll want to change before bathing.
Oh, yes. I always use a bathing suit while the sun's shining. Run along, Charles, and get the boat out. You and I have all sorts of talking to do, haven't we, darling?
Yes, of course.
This way, Miss Kay. Jenkins has already taken your things up. You'll just follow me.
Sure, why not? Last place I saw stairs like these is on a set in Hollywood. I've always wanted a place like this.
It's very pleasant here during the summer months. Breeze coming from over the bay all the time. It's really quite nice.
Plenty nice.
Right in here, Miss Kay.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
This is the afternoon off for the maids. I'm sorry there's none here to help you. But by the time you get back from your swim, I'm sure one of them will be back.
Oh, it's all right. I've got a bathing suit right in this case here. I think I can get in myself if I hold my breath.
I I did want to talk to you.
Talk? Go right ahead.
No. You want to dress?
Oh, stick around. We're all girls together. What's on your mind?
You are very pretty.
You're not as old as I thought you'd be.
You met my husband for the first time on the boat coming back to England.
Blasted blankety catches of all the rotten luggage. There, that does it. Now, where's that doggone suit?
You did meet Charles for the first time on the boat, didn't you?
Yes, of course. Oh, am I putting it on in the wrong places?
Will your business keep you in England very long?
Long? I should hope.
Why have you come here, Miss Kay?
Charles invited me, didn't you know?
Why have you come here?
What you mean is, madam, are your intentions strictly honorable? I played a part like that once in Stock, and was I lost? Terrible.
Why don't you answer me directly?
Okay, why not? What have I got to lose? Even if you pass along what I say to Charles, he won't believe you. He's a gentleman. Or, is he?
Tell me.
What is there to tell? You guessed it. Like a man, Charles thought you wouldn't, but I knew you would.
It's been going on ever since he met you.
You catch on fast, don't you?
You are cold.
Sister, when you've been around the way I have, you get to know all the answers. And you make up a couple of new ones, too.
But Charles, over 20 years older than you.
And with $20 million more dollars than me.
But you're wealthy.
Press agent stuff. I'm on the skids as far as Hollywood's concerned.
I beg your pardon.
Skids, you know, a one-way street leading down.
Oh.
Yeah. I wouldn't talk like this to my own sister, but as long as you and me got our hair down, what's the difference? The truth is, I'm just about washed up in pictures. Not that I can't act circles around many of those little... they got out there, but it's just that... Well, I was way up there, now I'm on my way down. And that's that. So
you met Charles on shipboard and fell in love with him.
Love?
You laugh?
Well, I'm sure not crying. But I am going to marry him.
You what?
I said I'm going to marry him.
My husband?
He won't be long.
You either have a poor idea of humor or you're absolutely insane.
No, I suppose you'll pull the line about my husband loves me. He'll never leave me.
He won't leave me.
No.
I know, Charles. There have been others.
But he never invited any of those others to his home now, did he? But he did invite me. And I'll stay here as long as I please. And in the end... I won't be the one to go.
Why do you say such horrible things?
Not so sure of yourself anymore, are you, Lady Jane? They never were as pretty as I am before, were they? And they never knew their way around the way I do now, did they?
You'll go. I won't permit you to stay.
Oh, really?
Charles wouldn't dare.
Oh, already. Come on in.
Well, what a charming, charming picture you make.
Yes, I think so, too.
Charles... Could I speak to you alone?
No, not now, Jane. I want to take Madeline for a sail before the wind changes. Come, Madeline.
Right with you, dear. See you later, Jane.
Better take my arm, Madeline. These old steps, quite steep, you know. After all, I wouldn't want anything happening to so charming a gift.
Oh, Charles.
There he goes, Sam.
I see.
But we ought to warn him.
I tried. You saw what I got. Fair booted me out of the place.
Yeah, he's got his lady with him in the boat.
His lady? Where's your eyes? That ain't a ladyship. A ladyship's a lady. She wouldn't be wearing like that. Yellow and not enough of it to... Oh, let him sail out there. Why should I warn the likes of them? No, thank you. I'll not waste a breath warning him or her. Not a breath.
Madeline.
Now, Charles, steer the boat.
I'd give anything.
Anything?
Name it.
Not now. Ooh.
What's the matter?
That wind, where did it come from?
By George. The sun has gone down.
No clouds, yet no sun. What kind of a place is this, anyway?
Yes, it is strange.
I thought I'd go swimming. Oh, come on, turn back. This is about as much fun as walking in a graveyard.
Jove, I'm sorry.
sorry?
We're becalmed, and I forgot the oars at the landing.
Oh, nice going. So what do we do now? Camp out here in the middle of the ocean until the scouts come after us?
You have a delightful sense of humor.
I'm getting a chill that isn't so delightful.
I'm deucedly sorry. Here. Put my coat around you. Lovely.
Hmm. The wind hasn't cooled you off any, has it? What was that?
What?
Did you hear it? Like a fish. You don't have whales in these parts, do you?
Whales? By Jove.
There it is again.
Yes, I heard it.
The water is so smooth.
Oh, the fish jumping probably. Oh, this is cozy. Becalmed at a very opportune time, if I might say so.
Yeah, I can't very well walk home, can I?
Anything for you.
You'll have your chance.
Anything.
Oh.
Now, what is it?
I thought I saw that rope up there at the bow, or whatever you call it, move.
Rope?
Yes, squirm sort of. Imagine that. I haven't had a drink in a week.
But there's no ropes at the bow.
Oh, yes, there is too.
Huh?
Charles.
It's no rope.
Then what is it?
I can't quite make out.
It is a rope. It is a rope. I tell you, it is.
I'm not quite sure.
Another one. Charles, look, another one. Came out of the water.
Oh.
Moving. Moving down along the deck. Charles, how can there be snakes out here?
Not snakes.
What's the matter with you? What are they? Look, there's two of them. Slimy.
There's another. Thick as a man's chest.
And another one.
Coming out of the water. Oh, no. It can't be. It can't.
What is it, Charles? What is it?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure none of us would mind a little time for breathtaking in this amazing story, Lord Marley's Guest. Yes, before returning to the play, let's consider the reality of a wartime problem that affects you.
No, I simply won't go to the service men's dance tonight. Who'd want to dance with me anyway? Since I've lost so much weight, I don't look like anything. I'm so on edge and tired out again tonight. Can't eat. I just know I'll lie awake till all hours the same as last night. Honestly, I'm worried about myself.
Well, getting worried can't help. But if vitamin B1 and iron shortage is your trouble, very probably ironized yeast tablets can.
Vitamin B1 and iron? Ironized yeast tablets? What do you mean?
Just this. Nutrition authorities say improper eating due to wartime living may cause a person to become deficient in vitamin B1 and iron. Two substances essential to normal weight, strength, and energy. And ironized yeast tablets supply those exact two substances, vitamin B1 with iron. They're scientifically compounded to help two ways in these deficiencies. Yes, help you two ways to look and feel and be your old-time peppy, sparkling self again.
Maybe I should try ironized yeast tablets.
By all means do, if you're short on vitamin B1 and iron. Then see if pretty soon you aren't saying...
How grand it is to feel good again. How glad I am that I took ironized yeast tablets.
And now back to tonight's play, Lord Marley's Guest.
Hear it, Sam? Hear it?
I hear it. There's trouble out there.
But what, I'm asking?
Oh, I can't see. They're too far off. Too far off.
Oh, listen to her. Sam, it can't be...
What else in the devil's name can it be? The Lord forgive me. I should have warned him. Dirty pride or not, I should have warned him. I should have warned...
Fisherman!
Sam, it's her ladyship running this way.
The Lord help her. What can she do for him?
Fisherman, help me. Please help
me. Lord help you, Mum. What can we do?
He's calling to us. Put us down there, men. Get into your boats. We've got to get out there and help them. Listen to him. Oh, help me in Mrs. name. Help me.
All right, come ahead, Mom.
Sam, have you lost your head? You're not going out there.
stepping forward, Mum. Watch your step.
Sam, you're balmy. It's the death out there.
Hand me that oar, Joe, and shove her off.
Sam, you can't be going out there. You was the one that warned us off her. And now you're going out yourself. Sure, I'll shove you off. But I'm coming with you.
Good man, Joe.
Hurry, hurry.
That we will. Dig your oars in deep, Joe.
Deep it is. Devil himself may be waiting out there, but here we go to meet him. Faster, Sam. Row faster.
Back of me, Madeline. Stay back of me.
Horrible things reaching out. You've got to tell me what they are. What? Tell me.
Behind us. Look.
No, no, those snake things crawling toward me. I've got to keep my eyes on them. If I watch them, they can't hurt me. Yes, that's it.
Madeline.
If I watch them, they can't
Madeline,
hurt me.
Watch out.
Can they hurt
watch
me?
Out.
Can they?
What?
Answer me, you. Can they hurt me? Yeah. What are you staring like that for?
Now I know. I know what it is.
It?
Eight arms coming out of the water. The body must be beneath.
What are you talking about? What body?
Its body. There. Heel shaking the boat. It's holding on with those horrible arms.
Arms? What are you raving about? Snakes?
No.
Slimy water snakes?
No, not snakes. I'd give my soul if there were. They're arms. It's arms.
Stop saying that.
It's arms. And it's waiting. Waiting underneath the sea for us. Waiting for us. Help. Help, somebody.
Charles.
Help.
Charles, what is it?
Help.
What? Tell me.
Devilfish.
No.
An octopus larger than the boat. Suckers on its tentacles.
Oh, my leg. One of those crawling things on my leg. Get it off. Get it off my leg.
I can't budge it. I can't budge it.
Oh, get it
devil
off
thing
my
you.
Leg.
Let's go up there. Let's go. Oh, my neck. No, no, no. No, no, no.
Frost, I beg you, Frost.
Sam, look.
Huh?
The boat is turned over.
They're fighting. They're fighting something in the water.
No, we can't let them drown. Row.
No, no, we can't. It's a devilfish.
I see it too. Its arms, they're longer than the mast of the boat itself. The tide's taking us right into it. Get at your oars, Joe. We'll get out of here.
Yeah, we'll... Let go of my oars, Mom.
No, no.
Get away.
I won't let you turn back.
Will you give
they're
me those
drowning.
Oars?
Let go of the oars, woman.
I won't let you turn
it'll
back.
Kill us, too.
But it's killing them. The octopus is killing them.
I'm not killing them. Playing with them like a cat with a mouse.
Oh, no.
Lifting them up in those great slimy arms and then dropping them back in the sea again. I held him under and drowned him.
No, no. Brought him up again, see?
Aye, but what?
Sam.
Oh, no.
What is it? What is that terrible thing that's lifting out of the water?
It's Ed, see? It's bringing the body toward its Ed. It's going to... No, don't look, Mom. No, he's dead anyways, Mom. Joe, let's get out of here. Come on, afford.
No, wait. The woman. It's let her go. The woman.
Aye,
she's swimming for it. This way.
No, let's get out of here. Get at the oars, man.
No, wait. Save her. Too late for him, but we can't leave her.
Right. We'll get you, miss.
Help me. Oh, she's too tired to swim anymore.
Stay afloat, miss.
Oh, hurry.
Come on, Sam. Help. Put your back to that oar.
Aye.
We'll get you, miss. Bring her around, Sam. Grab her quick.
Aye, that I will. Got you now. Up you go. Over. Up and in. That's it, Mom. That's it. In you go now.
You're safe now. You're safe.
Look. He's gone.
Eh?
The monster, the devilfish, gone. Under the water. Quick, put the girl down there in the bow and let's get out of here before he pulls us down.
Right.
It's all right. You're safe enough. You're safe, I tell you. Safe. Yes, safe. Stop he's it. Dead. Stop it. Charles, no, stop saying it.
Oh!
What is it? Why do you stop? We've got to get ashore. The woman hysterical.
Sam, something is holding the boat back.
No, no, it can't be. We're almost at the beach and...
Look, look over the port side.
What?
The octopus. Row.
It's underneath the water, holding us back.
Tentacle. Horrible black thing.
Come on, into the stern with us.
But she...
Another off. I'll push it down. Beat it off with your oar, man.
Oh, stay back, you fool!
Twisted the oar right out of my hand. Look, another arm. And they're all moving up towards her.
She doesn't see it.
She thinks she's safe.
Around her neck, it's wrapping around... Dragged her over.
The boat's free.
Aye?
Free, I tell you, free. It's let go of us. We'll get away.
But why should that be? Dragged her over and let us go?
Aye. That's so. Picked her right out of the boat. And now the water's so calm and clear. And look, the sun's come out.
Huh? Aye. And his lordship and the blonde one dead, dead under the sea. What say you, Mom?
Dead under the sea. Better so.
Well, Mr. Obler, all I've got to say is...
That brr is certainly an expressive one, Frank, but before we talk of brrs, I do want to thank June Dupre and Joseph Granby and Mary Jane Croft. And now, speaking of brrs, I think it reminds all of us that there's a strange, icy hand of retribution which apparently eventually seems to catch up with evildoers. Right at the moment, a man by the name of... what was it again? Oh, yes, Mussolini is remembering that. And now, Frank... After you've had a few words, I want to come back and tell our audience about a play which we're going to do next week. May I go on record right now as saying that I am looking forward to next week's Lights Out with more eagerness than I have to any play of this series. I'll tell all of you about that as soon as Frank Martin says a few words for Iron Eyes Yeast.
If you're so jittery and run down, often so tired out that you miss out on your work and fun, and if it's simply because you're short on vitamin B1 and iron... Remember, ironized yeast tablets give you these exact two substances. Now, of course, a rundown condition may be due to other causes. If in doubt, see your doctor. But if vitamin B1 and iron shortage is your trouble, remember, ironized yeast has been so successful in such cases that it's sold on this no-risk, money-back basis. If you don't start to eat better, to feel much stronger and more alive, the cost of the first bottle will be refunded to you in full by Ironized Yeast, Box IY, Rahway, New Jersey. And now, what's this about your eagerness over next week's play, Mr. Obler?
Well, a man can write a play with his tongue in his cheek or with his heart or with his mind. I'll say quite frankly, I wrote next week's play with heart and mind because it's a play that I wanted to do and I know you'll want to hear. It's not the usual lights-out play by any means. It's intended for even those in your family who may not be particularly interested in the mysterious and fantastic. So, have the entire family listening in, yes, children too, next week when we broadcast A Story of the Future. Your future.
Yes, tune in next Tuesday again for Arch Obler's Story of the Future. And if you need more vitamin B1 and iron, be sure to try ironized yeast. But remember... There's only one ironized yeast. You'll know it instantly by the yellow and orange package and by the big letters IY on the container and on each tablet.
It is later than you think.
Here is a very helpful, very short story. First, girl gets little grease spot on dress. Girl cries. Then, girl remembers Energene cleaning fluid. Girl uses Energene. End of grease spot, end of story. Yes, friends, it's easy to do little cleaning jobs right at home. to save time, money, and your clothes with Energene cleaning fluid. So keep things clean with Energene. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
What was that anyway? Whatever it was big. It was in the water and it had 8 arms. And it pretty much put the kibosh on romance between our Hollywood star and Charles, our story, Lord Marley's Guest, came from the mind of Arch Obler, the mastermind behind Lights Out, and our broadcast came from September 7th, 1943. And that's the last of it for this Saturday night, but we'll have more tomorrow night. I'm Norman Gilliland, and I hope you can join me then by the glow of your radio between 8 and 11, right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.